Good morning. Would you please turn in your Bible to our scripture reading for this morning? It's taken from the book of Philippians and the chapter 3 and the verses 20 and 21. And while you're turning up those two verses, could I just welcome you to the adult Bible class? And also, could I just give a word of welcome to our webcast viewers as well? We're glad that you have joined with us this morning, and my prayer is that the Lord will bless you as we look at God's word even this morning. Philippians chapter 3 and the verses 20 and 21, please. And the Apostle Paul says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Our gracious Father, we pray this morning, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that thou wilt bless the reading of thine own precious word, and that thou wilt bless us now as we come, Lord, to minister thy truth. We pray, Lord, that thou thyself would have all the preeminence, and I pray for the infilling of the Spirit of God with wisdom and with power to bring thy truth even this morning. I pray these things for Christ's sake and for his glory. Amen. On this Easter Sunday morning, this first day of the week, we are thinking again of the resurrection of Christ. The resurrection of Christ guarantees for the believer in Christ, those who die in Christ, that they will experience a physical, bodily resurrection unto life at the second coming of Christ. And it also guarantees that for those believers of Christ who are still alive and upon this earth, when the Lord Jesus Christ does return again for the second time, that they too will experience a change. They too will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This morning I want to look at three things in connection with the physical, bodily resurrection that will take place when the Lord Jesus Christ returns again for the second time. And first of all, I want to look at who will and who will not participate in the resurrection unto life at the second coming of Christ. It is important to note that the Bible teaches that there will be a physical, bodily resurrection, both of the just and the unjust, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns again for the second time. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 24, please. The book of Acts and the chapter 24 and the verses 14 and 15. And in the verses 14 and 15, the Apostle Paul, speaking to Felix, the Roman governor, and he is saying to the Roman governor about the accusations that the Jews had accused him of, accusations against him. And he says to the Roman governor Felix in verse 14 and 15, "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. Then turn to the book of Daniel, please. The book of Daniel and the chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12 and the verse 2. Daniel chapter 12 and the verse 2. And we read these words. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Now this speaks of a physical, bodily resurrection that will take place at the second coming of Christ. And we read then of the just and the unjust, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Then turn, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 5. John's Gospel, chapter 5, please. John's Gospel, chapter 5, and the verses 28 and 29. And the Lord Jesus Christ says here in verses 28 and 29, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. You will note in all these verses of Scripture that the Bible teaches that there will be a physical, bodily resurrection, both of the just and the unjust. But also these verses of Scripture give us the answer to the question that we asked. Who will and who will not participate in the physical, bodily resurrection of Christ when he returns again? Look at verses 28 and 29 of John again, John chapter 5. The Lord Jesus Christ says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life. So that tells us who will participate in this physical, bodily resurrection unto life. It is described here as they that have done good. But also we read of those who will not partake in this physical, bodily resurrection, because we read in the latter part of the verse, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. You see, those who have done evil, the unjust, they will not partake in a physical, bodily resurrection unto life, but rather, to the contrary, they will partake of a physical, bodily resurrection of damnation. Now, it's not hard for us to understand the latter part of this verse, where we read that they that have done evil, that they will partake of a resurrection of damnation. But the first part is maybe more difficult to understand, because it says that they that have done good, that they will partake of this resurrection of life. Now, does this mean that a sinner of Adam's fallen race enters into salvation by doing good, by their own works? No, it doesn't. Because the Bible makes it very clear that a sinner of Adam's fallen race doesn't enter into salvation by doing good or by their own works. Romans 3, 10 and 12 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none good, no, not one. But if you look, please, with me at Ephesians chapter 2 and the verses 8, 9 and 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and the verses 8, 9 and 10. We see there how a person enters into salvation, and how there will be those who will enter in to participating in this physical, bodily resurrection unto life at the second coming of Christ. We read in the verses 8 through to 10, "For by grace are ye saved." There's no works here, by the way, as regard to entering into salvation and participating in this physical, bodily resurrection unto life at the second coming of Christ. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But we don't stop there. Verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath foreordained that we should walk in them." Then look at Titus chapter 3, please, in verse 5. Titus chapter 3. And we'll read from verse 5 through to the verse 7, please. Titus 3, verse 5 through to the verse 7. And remember, we're looking at John chapter 5 and the verse 29, where it says that those who have done good, that they will participate in this resurrection of life. But we are saying that we do not enter into salvation by doing good. We do not enter salvation by our own works. And here, Titus 3 verses 5 to 7 makes this very clear. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Now, turn back again to John's Gospel, chapter 5. And the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of this regeneration in John's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 24 and 25. He speaks here of regeneration. He speaks of a spiritual resurrection in the soul. He speaks of a spiritual resurrection in the soul. A regeneration, a spiritual resurrection in the soul that enables a sinner of Adam's fallen race, saved by the grace of God, to perform good works. A regeneration, a spiritual resurrection in the soul that enables a sinner of Adam's fallen race to do good, to perform good works to the glory of God, not to get saved, but by the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells within them, the Holy Spirit within them, and by the grace of God gives them the enablement to do good, to do good works for the glory of God and unto Jesus Christ. Let us look at verses 24 and 25, what the Lord Jesus Christ actually says here. And there's the connection between the spiritual resurrection of the soul and the resurrection unto life. Because it's only those who experience a spiritual resurrection in the soul, those who are born again of the Spirit of God, those who are regenerated, who will experience this physical, bodily resurrection at the second coming of Christ, this resurrection unto life. The ungodly will not experience that. Why? Because they have not been regenerated. They haven't been born again. And remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 3. "Except a man be born again, he cannot enter, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You see what the scripture is teaching us here? But let us look at verses 24 and 25, please. The Lord says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Here is this spiritual resurrection in the soul. The sinner of Adam's fallen race passes from death unto life. This is a spiritual resurrection in the soul. And look at verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. How does a sinner of Adam's fallen race enter in to this salvation? How does this regeneration come about? How does this spiritual resurrection in the soul come about? It is through hearing the word of God. You see, it is through hearing the word of God and by the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit in the soul of the sinner of Adam's fallen race, that a sinner of Adam's fallen race, saved by the grace of God, is given this enablement to do good and to do good works for the glory of God. You see, it tells us here that those who are brought by the power of the Holy Spirit to new life, to this spiritual resurrection in their souls, that they are brought to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to everlasting life. And you know, the Bible says that, the Lord says that, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And the wrath of God is taken away. And it is the justified sinner of Adam's fallen race, because they are brought by the Holy Spirit to that place where they are justified by faith, and have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that same Holy Spirit within them gives to them the power and the enablement to do good, to do good works unto Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things pass away and all things become new. That's what it means here. There's a change takes place. That doesn't mean that the person is perfect, but it means that they're a changed person. They become a new creature. The old things pass away and all things become new. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2. And this time from the verse 1. And here Paul is speaking to believers in Christ. And he says these words, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. You see, he speaks here to the believer in Christ and tells them what they were in the past. But when the believer in Christ, when a sinner of Adam's fallen race is regenerated, when they're brought to new life, they are brought under conviction of sin, and they are changed, and they are brought to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, to be justified. But the Holy Spirit continues to dwell within them and give them the power to live for Christ, to do good, to do good works unto Jesus Christ and for the glory of God. You see, there's a great change takes place. We read here about these people who were dead in trespasses and in sins. They were quickened, wherein in time past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, there's the difference. We have this spiritual resurrection in the soul. We have regeneration. And the sinner of Adam's fallen race is brought to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old things pass away and all things become new. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What is the Lord Jesus Christ saying in John chapter 5, verses 24 and 25? Well, through hearing the word of God, through the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit in the soul, that he brings a sinner of Adam's fallen race into union with Jesus Christ, into union with his death and his resurrection. And this is what Ephesians chapter 2 is speaking of. So, I've said all that just to show you that if someone came to you, and there are many who will say, well, sure, this verse tells us that we enter into salvation and we will be partakers of this physical bodily resurrection unto life because we have done good. Don't we do good? Don't we go to church and all the rest of it? But as I have explained, that's not what it's speaking of here at all. It's speaking of those who have been regenerated and have experienced a spiritual resurrection in the soul. And the Holy Spirit dwelling within them gives them the power to do good and to do good works. And you know, believer in Christ, we should be performing good works. Not to get saved, but because we are saved. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. The old things have passed away and all things have become new. And we, day after day, we should be more and more being brought into the image of Jesus Christ. That people, by our good works, they will see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. But secondly, this morning, I want to look at what it means for both the just and the unjust to die before the physical bodily resurrection which will take place at the second coming of Christ. First of all, I want to look at what it means for the believer in Christ to die before the physical bodily resurrection unto life that we have just been speaking about. It's important to note that there are believers in Christ who are going to die before the Lord returns again. That's a fact. And we see that every day. There will be believers in Christ who are going to die physically before the Lord returns again. And it's also important to note that it doesn't mean that the believer in Christ goes out of existence. There are people who talk about soul sleep and all the rest of it and about going out of existence, but the Bible doesn't teach that the soul goes out of existence when the believer dies, when it comes to physical death. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll look at verse 6 to verse 8 just for the sake of time. And Paul says, and he's speaking here about heaven, and he's speaking about two abodes for the soul, before death and after death. And it says in verse 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, that's now the believer, the soul is at home in the body, this tabernacle, we are absent from the Lord in the sense that we haven't gone to heaven yet. The Lord's not absent from us. He's always present with us by his Spirit and through his word. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's what physical death means for the believer. It's absent from the body and present with the Lord. When a believer in Christ dies, the soul leaves the body and goes to be with Christ. Look at Philippians chapter 1, please. Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 and We read in verse 21 through to the verse 23. We read here, Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." You see, for the believer, physical death is a departure. It's a departure of the soul from the body. You see, the only reason for Paul living was Christ. For me to live is Christ. And then he said that death would be gain. Why was it going to be gain? Why was it going to be far better? Because he was going to Christ. His soul was going to go to be with Christ, which was far better. But look, please, also at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, please. 2 Peter chapter 1. And while you're turning that up, let me just quote from Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23, because it says that for the believer in Christ, that when they die physically, that they go to be with the spirits of just men, made perfect. You see, that's the soul leaving the body and going to be with the spirits of just men made perfect. The soul is then perfect in the sense that the soul never sins again. You see, our souls are not perfect in that sense anymore. Yes, we have a covering for our souls in and through the atoning blood and righteousness of Christ. We're justified. Yes, that's all true. But as yet, we're not sinlessly perfect. We still sin daily in word, in thought, and in deed. But the soul, after physical death of the believer, goes to be with the spirits of just men made perfect. The soul will never sin again. But look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and the verse 13, please. Peter says, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me." What was he talking about? He was talking about a physical death. He was going to die. That's what he's talking about here. "Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance." Now look at that word, decease. What does it mean? It means departure. That's what it means, decease. You hear about people being deceased. It means that the soul has left the body. That's what it means. And he knew, just as Paul knew, that there was going to be a departure. That his soul was going to leave his body and was going to go to be with Christ, which is far better. But secondly, what does it mean for the unbeliever to die before this bodily resurrection at the return of Christ? Well, look at Revelation chapter 22, please. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22 and the verse 11, please, part A. We read here, Revelation 22, verse 11, part A, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still." What does this teach us? Speaking on about the unjust here. Haven't we been talking about the just and the unjust? You see, there's never going to be an opportunity for a change in eternity. Because we read here, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still." You see, those who die outside of Jesus Christ, they will still be unjust. They will still be filthy. There'll be no opportunity, or there will not be any change take place once they go out of this scene of time. There's no purgatory. It's those who die who are unjust, they will still be unjust. And they will always be unjust. And they will always be filthy. But look at Luke chapter 16, please. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. And just for the sake of time, we'll look at the verses 22 and 23. Because we read of the rich man here. And we read in the verse 22, the latter part of this verse, the rich man also died and was buried. His body was buried. But we read in verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. You see, the portion for those who die outside of Jesus Christ before this resurrection, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns again, it tells us that the soul leaves the body and goes into a real place called hell. And if we read through the rest of this chapter, we will see that that's a conscious existence that they have too. They could see, they could cry, they could speak, they could do all these things, they could remember, etc., etc. That's only something that someone who has a conscious existence can do. But let me move on quickly, because the time is slipping on very quickly. Thirdly and finally, this morning, I want to look at what it will mean for both just and unjust at the second coming of Christ, when this physical bodily resurrection actually does take place. And it's going to take place. There is that day coming, as the Lord said in John 5, marvel not at this. It's coming. This bodily, physical resurrection, both of the just and the unjust. But what will it mean for the believer in Christ? Well, as we have already looked at in John 5 and 29, it will be a resurrection of life. It will be a resurrection of life. Look at 1 Thessalonians, please. First chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians and the chapter 4, please. And here, Paul is giving to the believer in Christ a word of comfort, and he says in verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That's those who have died in Christ. Their bodies are asleep, not their souls. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, those who have died in Christ and their bodies are in the earth, in Mother Earth, Jesus, in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. This tells us that there will be believers still upon this earth when the Lord returns again. Because it says, for the Lord, it says, which are alive, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You see the great change that's going to take place. Not only for those who have died in Christ, but for those who are alive and remain. Because when the Lord returns, they're going to be changed as well. In the moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and you will see exactly the same thing again. Paul speaking of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and this time from the verse 51. And we read, behold, I show you a mystery, Paul says. We shall not all sleep. There are those who are going to sleep. When a believer in Christ dies, their soul goes to heaven, but their bodies go into Mother Earth, and it's asleep. It's asleep. And it tells us, but we shall all be changed. It's talking about every believer, every believer. Those who have died in Christ, and also those who are still alive and remain when the Lord Jesus Christ returns again. And it's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the book of Romans, chapter 8. The book of Romans, and the chapter 8, please. And we'll just look at the one verse, just for the sake of time again. But it speaks here from verse 18 right through to the verse 23. It's speaking about a great change that's going to take place. There's going to enter in, when the Lord returns, the new heavens and the new earth. And part of that great change we read about in verse 23. We read, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. You see, when the Lord returns, there's the redemption of our body. You see, we don't have perfect bodies, do we? I'm sure you know all about that, and I know all about that. But there's a day coming when we will have a perfect body. There's the redemption of the body. And that will take place when the Lord returns again. There's going to be the redemption of the body. The body is going to be changed. It's going to be a perfect body. And if you look at Philippians chapter 3, which I read from, you'll see it's going to be a glorious body, like unto Christ's glorious body. Philippians 3, 20 and 21, please. We read, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second coming, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Then Matthew chapter 25, please. Just look at that quickly. Matthew chapter 25, where we read about the second coming of Christ. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. This speaks of the great white throne of judgment. Before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You see, the believer in Christ enters in to that eternal kingdom. They enter into the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. You can read about that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, about the believer in Christ at the second coming of Christ, that they will enter into the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And where have they got their righteousness? The righteousness of Christ. They have been clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And they're in the new heavens and the new earth. You can look at that at 2 Peter 3, 10 through to 13, just to save time, because time is going in very quickly. I have just one more point. What about will happen, and what will it mean for the unbeliever at the second coming of Christ when this physical bodily resurrection takes place? Well, we have read in John 5 and 29 that it won't be a resurrection of life, but it will be a resurrection of damnation. And we read in Revelation, 2 Thessalonians 1, please. This is a very important passage, so I'll ask you very quickly to turn this. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through to 10. Because in this passage of Scripture we read of what is going to happen to all unbelievers, whether they have died before the Lord returns or whether they're still upon this earth when the Lord returns. This is what's going to happen to every unbeliever. We read in verse 7, and we'll look at it from the middle of the verse. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints. It's going to happen at the same time as the saints are glorified. The just and the unjust resurrection. It's going to happen at the same time. And it says, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Look at Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15, please. Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15. And I'm nearly through. Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15. And we read here of eternal death, the second death, the separation of both body and soul in the lake of fire forever for the unbeliever. We read in verse 14, and death, speaking of the body, and hell, speaking of the soul, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the portion for those who die in their sins when the Lord returns again for the second time. Look at verse 8. But the fearful of chapter 21 of Revelation. Verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, eternal death. What is eternal death? It's the separation of both body and soul in the lake of fire forever and forever. One more verse. Matthew chapter 25, please. Matthew chapter 25. And then we're finished. Thank you for your patience. Look at verse 31 again. It's speaking of the second coming of Christ. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. I believe it's the great white throne of judgment, which we read about in Revelation chapter 20. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Look at verse 41. Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And we'll just leave it there this morning. May the Lord bless His word to all our hearts. And thank you very much indeed for listening. Let us just have a closing prayer, please. Our gracious Father, we come to Thee and we give Thee thanks in our Saviour's great and worthy name, Lord, for the spiritual resurrection in our souls. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou hast saved us by Thy grace and You keep us by Thy power, that we are justified by faith and have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're enabled, Lord, to do good. Lord, we're enabled, Lord, to perform good works because we are in Christ, because we are justified, because we have been washed in the precious blood of Christ. And Lord, we have a covering for our souls. Lord, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Thank Thee, the guilt and eternal punishment has been put away forever. And Lord, we thank Thee for the blessed Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Lord, who gives us the power to live for Christ. And Lord, we thank You one day that we are going to see Him face to face and tell the story saved by sovereign grace. We thank Thee, Lord, when He comes back. Lord, that we will be changed. There will be that, Lord, physical resurrection unto life. And, O God, that we will enter in to the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. But, Lord, we pray, Lord, for those who are still outside of Christ. Lord, that Thou Thyself, even today, Lord, would speak to those of our loved ones and neighbours and friends who are still outside of Christ. And even in these meetings this morning and in this evening, that there will be those, Lord, who will come and, Lord, have that assurance that it's well with their soul and for the great eternity. Lord, we pray Thy blessing upon the Reverend Baxter and Mr. Irwin this evening. We pray these things for Christ's sake, for His glory. Amen.